Today is the second day of the Triduum. The most solemn and joyful celebration of the Christian calendar is the period, which includes Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Worship services on these days or evenings are traditionally considered to be part of a single extended liturgical event called the Triduum, Latin for 3 days. There is no benediction until Holy Saturday. The first part of the Triduum, yesterday, Maundy Thursday, during the time during which Christians recall the events that took place the night Jesus was betrayed. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke concentrate on the institution of the Lord's Supper, and the Gospel of John focuses on the Lord's final teaching to his disciples, dramatically punctuated by his washing of their feet. And after the prayer, the stripping of the altar took place, a powerful, ancient ritual, dramatic reenactment of the Lord's humiliation at the hands of the Roman soldiers. The altar was left bare. It was transformed into the tomb's stone slab of Good Friday. Today, Good Friday, is the second part of the Triduum. This service is patterned after the ancient office of Tenebrae. The Latin word tenebrae means darkness. The purpose of the service is to impress upon us the terrible reality of sin, which caused our Savior to die for us. A total of 8 candles are used in this service. 7 of these candles represent the 7 last sentences which our Savior spoke from the cross. And the 8th candle is the Christ candle, which processes and recesses into the sanctuary. As the 7 candles in the altar are extinguished one by one, causing the chancel to become increasingly darkened, we are reminded of the darkness that covered the earth at the time our Lord spoke these words at his crucifixion. It serves as a reminder of the spiritual darkness in the world. Jesus is the light of the world. The exit of the Christ candle at the close of the service signifies Christ's death and burial. When the book is lifted a few inches above the altar and slammed back down to create a definite closing sound, it symbolizes the stone that was rolled over the entrance to the tomb. With the sealed tomb, the meaning of the cross is fulfilled, the sacrifice completed. Jesus' body rests in the tomb for the Saturday Sabbath. The Christ candle is not extinguished at any time during the service, as it is symbolic of the eternal light of God's love in Jesus, eternal Son of God. Though evil had its hour, the light of God's love continues to shine for all eternity. Join us online Saturday and Sunday as we rejoice in the glorious message of the risen Christ. We now have the procession of the Christ candle as we sing the hymn Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, hymn 451.
Thank you.
Psalm 22, verses 1 through 19, responsively by Hope Verse.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb he is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offering, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson is from St. John, the 19th chapter. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it,
to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciples took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, hymn 450, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
7 words or sentences from Jesus on the cross, we rejoice today that the verdict of God is that the work of our salvation has been finished. Our salvation is complete. It is the verdict of God in which we rejoice on Good Friday. The first sentence Jesus says from the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the Son is serving his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. All three persons are present at the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them," as the soldiers are nailing him to the cross. Based on his sacrifice in their place, he's saying, "These very people, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The same is of you and me. Because of original sin, we daily commit sins of thought, word, and deed. We're not even aware of them very often, for we know not what we do. But we know that we, like the soldiers, are sinners. And so Jesus, in his verdict, says to you and me, "Father, forgive them," that is you and me, "for we know not what we do." His second word, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today, that very day, that thief who confessed his sins and proclaimed Jesus as the Christ and said, "Remember me in your kingdom," would be present with God in heaven that very day after he died. Jesus says, "You shall be with me," that is, in heaven, in the presence of God, "and you'll be with me in paradise." The word paradise is a beautiful word. It's the word for the new Garden of Eden in heaven. It's walking in the heavenly garden where we can eat from the tree of life and drink from the river of life. And where the Lord again walks with us in this new garden called paradise. For this man and for those Christians who've gone before us, they too have heard the words of our Lord Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The third word, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Woman, behold your son. Mary is the one who bore the Son of God in her womb. And now, as Simeon foretold that a sword would pierce her heart, now this woman who gave birth to Jesus now sees him dying upon the cross. Jesus loves his mother Mary and entrusts Mary to his beloved disciple John. Later on, his brothers, after his resurrection, Jesus' half-brothers, would believe in him. But at this point, Jesus entrusts his mother to John, one of the 12. Through holy baptism, we are God's sons, because we are incorporated into Jesus, the Son of God. We behold the Son, and we are sons of God, faithful disciples like Mary and like John. We take care of one another because God in Christ takes care of us and our eternal salvation. Then the fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken? My God, Jesus is crying out to his Father in heaven, and he is quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. Psalm 22 depicts almost all the details of Good Friday, as the people are mocking him, and he is thirsty, and they pierce his hands and feet, and they cast lots for his garment. Psalm 22 is fulfilled on Good Friday. Here, Jesus, the second Adam, is forsaken by the Father in heaven. He took the first Adam's place upon the cross, and now, as our substitute, our redeemer, our intercessor, he is the one that was forsaken on our behalf, so the Father will not forsake us. Jesus experienced hell and separation from the Father at that moment upon the cross, so that you and I, through faith in him, will never be separated from the Father, but will always be in the Father's presence. And the fifth word, I thirst. Jesus, in his true humanity, is thirsty, and they give him a drink of sour wine. Jesus, the one who is the river of life and the tree of life, who gives us living water so that we never thirst, this very Jesus was himself thirsty. This raw necessity of thirst was upon him. They gave him to drink, but believing in Christ and the river of life that flows from him, we will never thirst, but we have the food and the drink of righteousness in Jesus. And the sixth word, it is finished. That is, when he hung there and said, it is finished, the work of redemption, justification, atonement, propitiation was complete. The blood of the Passover lamb upon the cross is now the basis of our salvation. It is completely fulfilled. It is paid in full. And when the Lord sees Jesus' blood, he passes over our sins, and the work of our redemption is complete. By grace, through faith, we receive the merits of Christ Jesus, which are then posted to our account so that we are declared righteous through Jesus who became sin for us. And then the last word, the seventh word. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his spirit, bowed his head, and died. Father, into your hands. The Son had come from the Father, from heaven to earth. Now he goes from earth and returns to his Father. He commits his spirit to the Father. His body died and would be placed in the tomb to rest on Saturday, but his soul returned to God in heaven. What a beautiful promise for you and me when we are on our deathbed one day. We can say the same word. Because of Christ Jesus and his sacrifice on my behalf and your behalf, when we are on our deathbeds, we too can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, because the work is completed and finished through Jesus Christ. On this solemn occasion of Good Friday, as darkness came across all of the earth, we can, in holy meditation, rejoice in the midst of sorrow, because the verdict of God has been completed in the person of Jesus Christ. In him we have full redemption and eternal life. To Jesus alone, the crucified one, be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us now sing, O Sacred Head, hymn 450, verses 5 through 7.
Thank you.
for sending your offerings in the mail, bringing them to the church, or giving your offerings digitally during this holy week. Continue with the prayers. We pray the prayer our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The service of Tenebrae.
The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him, which read, This is the King of the Jews. We sing hymn 447, verses 1 through 3. We sing verses 4 through 6.
Thank you.
completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. We now sing verses 13 through 15.
Hear us, holy Jesus.
since it was the day of preparation, and so the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. These things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, they will look on him whom they have pierced. For behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. He rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.